Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Sierra Hole is widely regarded as the master of her instrument. A two-time Grammy-nominated artist and songwriter, she is the six-time recipient of IBMA's Mandolin Player of the Year, the first woman to ever receive this distinction. Although now just in her early 30s, she is considered a pioneer for acoustic music throughout her already impressive career. Sierra joins me on this edition of Americana Music Profiles.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me for a little bit. Are you, you're currently in Tennessee, or are you on the road?
No, I'm in Nashville. Yeah, I'm home.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. Is this a tour season for you yet? Have you started?
Oh, gosh. I've been so busy.
Yeah.
The last little bit. So, yeah, I'm home, like, for a little week stretch here. We leave again Tuesday. But, yeah, I just spent, like, over a month in Europe doing some touring with both Betel Fleck and my own band, opening some shows. My band opened some shows for Brad Paisley.
Wow.
Over there. And then we kind of flew straight from those shows with Brad into our U.S. tour. So we're touring quite a bit, you know, throughout March and April. And then we kind of, I guess Merle Fest is really one of the first festivals we do to kind of kick off festival season. So then it's kind of, you know, straight ahead.
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah, Merle Fest always kind of symbolically is the kickoff of festival season. I guess for those of us sort of on the East Coast, maybe not so much West Coast, but it feels like that's kind of the beginning of the spring and summer season.
Sure, yeah.
So you have a, do you have a newer album out than the 25 Trips, or is that the current album?
That's the current one. I've got a bunch of music kind of ready to go. We're just kind of, like, you know, working alongside to find the right partner right now for releasing it. So hopefully some new music to come soon. Like I said, definitely, you know, it's already sitting there ready to go, just waiting for, you know, but we have to, it's important for me to really find the right partner this time around. This is like one of the first times that I've sort of, you know, made the music without knowing where it was going to land, which is kind of an exciting place to be, because I was, you know, with Rounder Records my entire career, and this feels kind of like a fresh and exciting chapter in, you know, kind of just making the music I want to make, and
yeah,
and also kind of really being in the driver's seat of what happens with it as far as, like, where it lands and,
sure,
and how,
yeah,
we choose to put it out for kind of the first time, which is pretty exciting.
Now, you say ready to go. Does that mean songs completed, you're happy with them, and you're just basically looking for a label partner, or will they still need to be edited and reworked a little bit?
Well, the songs are basically done. I mean, it's funny. I never deem anything done until I'm forced to.
Okay.
I'm one of those, you know, it's very, very hard for me to ever completely
sure.
feel, you know, done and satisfied. So I won't say they're completely finished. We'll still probably have another round of mixes and, you know, small tweaks, but yeah, everything's pretty well recorded. And there's definitely, you know, how we choose to put it out, whether it's in full album format or whether we choose to kind of roll it out, as a couple EPs is kind of part of the discussion right now.
Right.
But definitely I've got quite a bit of music recorded and kind of, yeah, ready to go. Give or take, you know, give me a deadline and we'll have that maybe done.
Wow. That's cool. That's
so
cool.
It's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. So you started really early into this kind of, not even dabbling, you were having some really good success as a younger child and early adult years. How does that change trajectory for you as an artist? I mean, there's a lot of folks that are, you know, at your age, just kind of trying to figure it out. And what do we do to get our first hit record? And how do we get on the Grand Ole Opry? And a lot of those things are things you've been able to accomplish. Does that change how you move forward with your music?
Maybe so. I think one advantage of getting started that young is that, you know, you're able to get a lot of experience, you know, early on. So I feel like in terms of traveling and being in the business and like things I've been able to learn, it's like I've had a lot of years of being able to kind of, you know, learn through trial and error and, mm-hmm. and being able to, you know, get to know a lot of my heroes at a really young age
yeah.
and learn from them. And, you know, there's a beauty in that. There's also, you know, a certain thing about, you know, you get older and, you know, I'm in my early 30s now. And like, you know, a lot of the things that, you know, like you said, the trying to do certain things for the first time, it's like when you've already done some of those things so early in your career, it's like, well, what's next now? What's
right.
What's the new goals and what's the, while still feeling like I'm so far from, you know, having, you know, gotten to where I would hope to get. I think that there's always something new to aspire to,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it be more like a career benchmark or a musical exploration or whatever it might be. And so I feel really fortunate that I've at least had the opportunity through so many years of doing it to learn and grow, but also, you know, kind of slowly, if that makes sense.
Sure.
I've always looked at my career as being, I've never wanted to just be the one hit wonder that, you know, kind of chases the thing that's popular in the moment and, you know, has maybe a lot of success all at once. I mean, I know that can be a beautiful thing, you know, when that lines up properly for people, but I've also kind of like, I'm a lifer, you know, I'm in this for the long haul. And so it's
yeah.
always been really important to me to make decisions that aren't just good decisions in the moment, but are decisions that I can still be proud of, you know, 20, 30 years from now,
yeah.
you know? So,
yeah.
So it's it's an interesting thing because it's like, sometimes I feel like, oh my gosh, I've been doing this a really long time, but I'm still like, I'm still young and I still have,
yeah.
you know, a lot of excitement toward the thing itself, you know, and
yeah.
still a lot of ambition. So, you know, kind of knowing where to put that ambition sometimes and while not being the shiny new kid on the block, if that makes sense.
Sure.
It's an interesting place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it ever leave you curious or wanting to do something different, like completely different, you know, go work in an industry or go teach at a university or go, I don't know, fly, you know, something that's completely out of the bounds different from music?
No, never.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I mean, and if there's one thing, you know, choosing this as a career, well, I say like choosing it, I almost feel like it chose me. And I know
uh-huh.
people say that, but when I hear somebody say that, I'm like, I know 100% what you mean. I mean, because from the time I was, you know, 8 years old and picking
yeah.
up the mandolin and getting excited about music, it didn't take me long to just know and also like feel called, you know, not
sure.
to be like overly spiritual about it, but like I do feel like of so many things in life that are like, you know, black and white and really confusing, and maybe certain things about my career get confusing sometimes to know which direction to go. But the idea of being a musician and being an artist and this being the thing that I've chosen to do with my life, there's never really a moment where, you know, you might get frustrated and be like, you know, I might as well quit. You know, we all get all vulnerable, sure, kind of like, yeah, you know, overly emotional artist kind of types. But, and of course I've been there. I'd be lying to say if I haven't, but like, you know, I know without a shadow of a doubt that this is truly what I've always wanted to do and what I've always felt called to do. And so, there's always been at least clarity in that.
Sure.
Even if I don't always know, you know, what the next project looks like or what the next sort of step is in a business direction or whatever. And, you know, some of that kind of takes time and a lot of, you know, trust and self-reflection and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I've always felt like this is what I was supposed to do. Yeah,
that's cool. What do you love most
about
it?
And I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, of course. So that's great. It's awesome that you still feel that way, because it's, what are you on to, what, maybe 20 years?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Which is crazy. Yeah. I mean, to think about, you know.
Yeah. Wow. What do you love most about it?
You know, I must say, you know, I've seen my parents have been hard workers their whole life. You know, they've always worked hard labor jobs and, you know, not necessarily they haven't been able to do the thing that they're passionate about. And I think just being able to show up, even though there are times where I kind of look on the flip side of that. And when you talk about a different career path, sometimes they go, man, yeah, at least, you know, if you're doing something you're passionate about, like what a blessing that really is. But at the same time, like sometimes it can feel a little like, a curse, because you really have like a full life commitment to it. Like, right. I feel like being a musician is one of those things that like, you better love it or there's no way you'll survive it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because it is a really, you know, I think people see the kind of shiny moments from afar, you know, where it looks like, cool, you're standing on a stage and everybody's clapping and cheering and, you know, the sort of like moments of what feels like adoration that come with it. But man, there's this whole other chunk, which is the bigger chunk of it. That's a lot of hard work and practice, not just the music, but also, you know, all the things that it takes to keep a business running if this is what you choose to do. And, you know, all the travel, which really can take a toll on you as well. Not to mention just the emotional roller coaster of pouring the thing that you're passionate, you know, pouring your life into this thing that is your passion.
Right.
Whereas, you know, some other jobs, people might not get the same kind of highs, but I don't know that the lows are always as low either. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
so you might be able to kind of turn it off. Like you might be able to go do your job and you might not love it, but if you kind of enjoy it, then you kind of come home and you can be with your family every evening or whatever, and you kind of just go, cool, now I'm gonna like watch Netflix and have dinner and enjoy my life in another way.
Right.
You know, sometimes I do think, wow, that seems kind of appealing too, but I think, you know, I've seen the flip side of that where, like I said, I'm looking at my parents and you know, other people close to me in life that haven't had the opportunity, the blessing of being able to do something you can really love. And that's hard too, you know? So I think just being able to know at the end of the day when I am exhausted or I've been on some crazy tour or, you know, flights are getting canceled or you're kind of in the grind of it, that like, man, I love knowing that I get to stand on a stage and do the thing that I love and kind of pour my heart into something and try to remember to be grateful for that, because I know not everybody in life gets that. No. And I'm just so, so fortunate that I've at least been given that, if nothing else.
Yeah. What a cool perspective. That's awesome. What, when you do get those moments, the breaks, the downtime, what is it that you turn to? What do you look forward to when you know you've got a week off or a couple of days off or, you know, 24 hours where you can kind of go just do something else?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because like, all right, I just was gone for like 50 something days, which was like maybe the longest ever that I've been gone.
Wow.
And some of that kind of turned into a fun trip. We did like 3.5 weeks with Bela Fleck in Europe. And then it was only going to be like, if I flew back to the States, I was going to turn around and fly right back to with my band to go open these shows for Rhett Paisley. So Justin and I, my husband, we just kind of, who's also on the Bela Fleck tour, we were like, well, you know, we could just stay. And so we squeezed in a little Italy trip in there for like 8 days, which was amazing.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, it's like, you know, this week being a perfect example of where, you know, I've got like 7 days at home. And the truth is when you're gone so much, and I, you know, part of it's me too. It's like, I'm trying to squeeze in a writing session, or I'm trying to, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm sitting in a parking lot right now at a gas station to take this call while I'm out running errands, and I've got to go like ship a ton of merch to my management office in LA so that they can then send it wherever it needs to go for the various tour dates we have coming up.
Wow.
And it's just like, it's always something.
Yeah.
So I feel like for me, even in those times off, sometimes they don't always feel off, to be quite frank, because there's, you know, in the midst of touring and all that, there's always, plus I have an Artist Works online mandolin course that I keep up with. So it's like, I'm kind of always squeezing in all the other things in and around tour, or a writing session, or whatever it might be. But when I can truly turn the brain off, which is kind of rare for me, to be quite honest, you know, it's those moments where I go, okay, like today's the perfect weather in Nashville. And like, you know, getting out, taking a really long walk, just enjoying a podcast or an audiobook, maybe even like, you know, something as simple as the other night I made some peanut butter chocolate chip cookies. And it's like just being able to bake or be in the kitchen to cook, or those kind of things that maybe seem kind of like normal activities for other people. But I think for me, when I really have that and I can like go on a walk and we have tons of deer in our neighborhood and like have those moments outside, or even just be in my own kitchen or at my own house for a little while, it's like, that's when I really feel like, oh, life is good, you know?
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. What's on your music bucket list? Do you think about that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, it's like, I think for me, I've, you know, put out a few albums. I really, you know, as I put out music, it's like you always hope with the new music that you share that there's, you know, something people can connect with, and that maybe more opportunity and collaboration kind of stems from all that. And, you know, I mean, there's definitely some, like I could say, oh, I'd love to be able to do something with Dolly Parton one day, or I'd let, you know, and I've done a couple things, I guess, with her from afar, like where I've played on recordings that she's been a part of, but like, you know, we've never been in the same room
together. Okay.
Or, I mean, let's be honest, I'd probably just as excited to like hang out and eat chicken and dumplings with her as I would to even play music at this point.
Yeah.
But like, you know, definitely there's some kind of moments like that. But, you know, career-wise, I think like the idea of, you know, there's certain venues, or as you, you know, hope to sell more and more tickets, like, for instance, you know, we're playing in May this year. We're going to Red Rocks. And, like, I feel like all my bandmates, like, I've gotten to play there before. And actually, I'm going to be lucky to get to go twice this summer, once with my band and once with String Cheese, guesting with them later this summer, just kind of sitting in on one of their shows. But like, even my bandmates, you know, being able to share that with people that you know, are also excited, those first-time kind of moments where – I've played Red Rocks, but it's been quite a while, and not with this particular band that I'm touring with now. And they were kind of like, you know, oh, we really want to, like, we'd love to play Red Rocks. We'd love to play Red Rocks. And then the moment comes where that offer comes in to do so, and I can call everybody and say, hey guys, we're getting to go to Red Rocks.
Yeah.
And everybody's excited. It's like, you know, those kind of bucket list moments. And you might say, well, it's just another show, but it's like, sometimes you feel like you get to have these moments where you're like, okay, that's something that, you know, that feels like a moment to sort of check off the list, you know? So I definitely have, you know, I've got a big list of stuff like that.
But
I think those moments are meaningful, you know, even if it's, you know, something that might seem small to somebody else. Like, I mean, I would dream of being a member of the Grand Ole Opry someday.
Sure.
You know, because that really means something from where I grew up
of
and
course.
Where I came from.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got to play the Opry stage many times over the years. And you know, we tend to go back on a fairly regular basis. But, you know, things like that, that when you kind of project ahead in your career, it's like, you know, you hope for all the kind of normal growth of continuing to play to more and more people. And you know, hopefully... you know, have the luxury of sharing your music with, right. with as many people as possible,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
But those kind of things that you kind of hope for, at some point, you know, it's kind of like childhood dreams that you kind of hang
right.
on to,
yeah.
I think, you know?
Yeah. yeah. Well, you've got a lot of career years ahead of you to make some of those things come true. So I certainly hope you get to do all of them.
Well, thank you. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
You know? I'll keep working hard. We'll see what happens.
I appreciate you taking the time to out of your relaxing day to chat with us for a couple minutes, and looking forward to the new music dropping soon. As soon as you find get all of that arranged, and wish you the best on your tour this summer too.
Well, thanks a lot. And we're certainly excited for Merlefest. You know, it'll be a special one for me, I think, getting to do a doubleheader with both my band and Bela Fleck Bluegrass Heart.
Yeah,
so it
yeah.
should be a special one this year for
Good.
Sure.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Sierra. We really appreciate it.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.